Well, if you'll stand, open your Bible with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 27. Matthew chapter 27. I don't know who that fellow was. Yes, he said he was nervous, but my, this is a nervous place up here. It must be. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 57. If you'll find that and also find the Gospel of John, chapter number 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. I'll read two passages this morning and I'll be using both of them. When the evening was come, there came a rich man. This is chapter 27 and verse number 57. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. I want you to see the phrase, he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher. In the book of John, chapter number 11, verse number 38, we come to another grave. This is the grave of Lazarus. Verse number 38 says, Jesus, therefore again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Heavenly Father, we pray now that the Spirit of God would anoint us for this hour. Lord, we don't ask for Sunday. We don't ask, Lord, for tomorrow. We'd ask, Lord, for this hour, these next few moments, that the Spirit of God would just use in an unusual way these words that we've read from the blessed Word of God. Lord, hide us behind the cross that our eyes may be lifted up to see Jesus high and lifted up. When we leave this place, Lord, may every person be able to cry out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Bless now the reading of thy scripture, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated there. Now I'm going to preach this morning on this subject, the stone must be moved. The stone must be moved. I guess probably the loneliest place in this world is to walk down a road to a graveyard. I started to give this testimony last night, but Brother Bob Ferguson here know who I'm talking about, but before I came down here, I went to a funeral. Brother Dale Atkins, a great preacher of God's Word, dad died, and that man preached an unusual funeral. I mean, it wasn't one of those that you hear in a normal place, but he preached on, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. And I happen to know Brother Dale Atkins' dad, and the preacher got up there, and he started out at this. He started out this sermon this way. He said, now, this man that's laying in front of this church, he's done no great deeds. There are no monuments down here on earth that'll ever be built to him. He's not a leader. He's not a great leader in the church. He's not done anything that the world would write his name up in the paper about. He's been a silent. He's been a quiet. a timid, backward type of an individual. He would show up on Sunday morning and he'd be faithful for every service in the house of God. And there's nothing in this world that would give anybody the idea that this man is somebody great. Man, that's an unusual way to start off a funeral. But he said this man has two boys that he leaves behind as preachers. This man has two grandsons that he leaves behind as preachers. This man has three daughters that he leaves behind that are working in church and serving God. And he said probably when this fella gets to heaven, he'll have more monuments and more awards and more rewards for God than anybody else in this church probably, even though their name may be greater. And you know, buddy, you can walk down to a graveyard with a fellow like that. I mean, there's something when you go to the graveside of a man that's left a monument behind that will bless you even after he's gone, left this world. But you know, I look into our text, and there was a day when the Son of God walked down the valley of the shadow of death, and he died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was placed in a tomb, and a stone was rolled to seal the Savior in. Oh, what a sad time that was for the apostles. Yeah. I think of this little family called Martha and Mary when they took their brother down to the side of the road somewhere to an old hewn-up graveyard and laid a brother in a grave, realizing that if Jesus had been there, they wouldn't have had to have done that. You know, Jesus loved this fella, didn't he? Yeah, he did. I mean, there was a bond between Jesus and this fella. Yeah. Here comes Jesus, and he says, I'm the resurrection and life. He that believeth, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, now there's a thought that I want you to see this morning. The stone is at the door of the sepulcher. Now we have a twofold lesson in these two verses. At the tomb of Lazarus. Now, I want you to get this, because you won't get what I'm preaching on here in a few minutes if you don't get this. At the tomb of Lazarus, death is on the inside and life is on the outside. Lazarus, a type of people that are dead in trespasses and sin. He was on the inside, and Jesus, who is our life, was on the outside. Now, at the tomb of Jesus, life was on the inside. Jesus, who is our life, he was on the inside, and death was on the outside. Now the problem is we've got to get life and death to meet together. I believe last night we had life meet with us. Amen. I believe we had he who is the resurrection and the life show up in our presence. Oftentimes we get death at a spot, and somehow or another we can't get life where it is. I tell you, the only way that life can come and conquer death is the stone somehow has to get moved away. Now, you know, Jesus, they didn't have to move the stone to let the world know that he was alive. He was already walking on the outside. You know, they were worried, how are we going to get in to see this body of Jesus? But Lazarus, he had absolutely no way to get out of the tomb. He was sealed in there. His body, the Bible said that his body was even a stinking. You know, that's a type of some of our churches sometimes, aren't it? We've got some old stones rolled up against the door of our churches, and we've got some stones rolled up against our life that keeps the life of Jesus from meeting where death is. We got to get life where death is. I thought, if Jesus could pass by our old sepulcher and somehow another roll the stone by and call unto us, and we could once again get a glimpse of the power of God. We need life in our churches. There's nothing substitute for life. I got tired a long time ago going through this old formality. That old formal stuff will kill our churches better than last year's virgin ass. We've got these things so figured out that the average person could hold a church service without God showing up. I was a preaching in a church recently, and if you do this is your business, but I got this little paper, and they said the convocation, and so-and-so is going to sing page number so-and-so, and somebody's going to play the instrument, this song, and somebody was going to sing a congregational song, and somebody would provide the offertory prayer, and somebody would sing a special before the preacher would preach, and then the preacher would preach, and we'd have the benediction, and we close by singing, "Have Thine Own Way." Oh, that's not God's way. We need to get life on the inside of the tomb, of the where the power of God is present. You know, most of our churches have become tombstones. I'm tired of old formality, aren't you? I don't want nothing to do anymore. I tell you, I told somebody the other day, I'm getting too old to care what people think. Getting too old to move. Amen. I'll tell you, we need something of the power of God to come in and roll the stones away. We'll never do nothing for God unless the stones get rolled away. Amen. Keys to get life in there. Jesus said in John chapter 11, he said, "I am the resurrection of life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." The Bible said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." He said, "Set your affection on things above, not on things in this earth." He said, "For ye are dead, and your life, not death, your life is hid with Christ in God." We need life. Nothing else will substitute for life. Plans will not substitute for life. You know, I've started little old church programs that just fizzle out. Playing things for my young people and they fizzle out. I've learned this a long time ago. You can't keep people and you can't bless people and you can't preach to people unless they have some life and fall in love with the Son of God. Oh, we got to have some life. Get inside where the death is. And if you've got Jesus locked up in a tomb, we're going to have to get life out of the tomb and bring him out to where death is. And we're going to have to meet both of them together. And I'll guarantee you when life meets death, death will flee. Did you ever know anybody that Jesus got around that ever stayed the same? There's three deaths in the Bible, a little girl, a little maid, a boy, and Lazarus. It don't matter how dead you are, if Jesus passes by, it'll flee because death cannot stay in the presence of life. I want to tell you where darkness is. When the light of the glory of Jesus Christ shows up, then that darkness has to flee away. It cannot stay around. Now I want to preach three thoughts this morning. Number one, the sepulchre represents death. That's where we are this morning. We're living in a dead world. We're going to dead churches. We're singing dead songs. We're preaching dead sermons. We're trying to get dead people to respond to dead sermons and dead songs, and we cannot produce life. Well, listen, God got in it last night and saved somebody without us. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, he didn't use no sermon. He didn't use no eloquent speaker. God just reached down and said, "Hey, boys, I want to show you that where my power is, it doesn't matter where life is, death is, where my power is, and I won't buy the tombstone of an individual. I can speak the word and bring life." He don't need our help. Isn't that a blessing? We learned something last night. We heard this young boy, I don't know who he was, Brother Lawrence, stand right up over here and give a testimony going to Wales. The last great revival the world seen started in Wales. I stood up, I got to tell Brother Benny, I got a sermon on that. Did you know who it started with? It didn't start with some of us old deadheads. It started with young people. Started with two preacher boys about 16, 17, and 18 years of age. And as I was reading that, it said sometimes they'd sit down in a service like this, and they'd sit for 2 hours, preachers all around, nobody say a word. I read where there was one building packed out one time, and they sat there for 2 hours. Nobody stood up in the pulpit. Nobody said a word. And up in the choir loft, some old man began to sing, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." And he said, when that old man stood up and started singing, the breath of God swept over the place. And before they knew it, the Holy Ghost of God had broke loose on them almost like a plague. And everybody was affected by the power of God that showed up. Yeah. You know what came in? Life came in. Yeah. Amen. The stone got rolled away. I don't believe we'll ever see anything in our services until we get some stones rolled away. We got to get the stone out of the way. The key is to get the stone away from the door of the sepulcher. We've got to find a way by the grace of God to get in where life is, or to get life out where we are. Sin. Sepulchre represents death. Now what brings death? Sin. Everybody knows that sin brings death. So if I could boil this down in one thought, it's our sins that separate between us and our God. The wages of sin is death. Genesis said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God tempteth no man to evil, neither can he be tempted to evil. But every man is tempted when he's torn away of his own lust and enticed. And then lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Yeah. Our problem is death. Now death is a separation. It's a physical separation. It's a spiritual separation. It's a second death separation. But death is always a separation. And since death is brought about by sin, then it has to be sin that is a culprit that is keeping life from flowing through our churches. Sin has to be the reason. You know, it's time that we have people just confess up. You know, we sometimes want to lay out of church for 5 months and then come back in and take our seat as if nothing happened. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we have a 50 or 60 show up like that, and they've gone out and had their little spell, and they've gone through their priorities first, and then they come back and try to take up as if nothing happened. Listen, it rolls a stone in front of the door, and the preacher gets up and preaches, and even though he may preach the truth, we've got something blocking the entrance to the doorway of life. We've got to get the stone out of the way. What if we had an old service like this where everybody just told the truth to God? Last night wouldn't be nothing compared to what could happen. That Wales revival, a little girl didn't know how to get a hold of God. A little 12-year-old girl didn't know how to get a hold of God. And after sitting in her seat for several hours in silence, this little girl jumped up with tears streaming down her face, and she cried out, "Lord, help me." And that got it started. It don't take much when God shows up. You can throw your outlines out. You can throw your songs out. You can throw your education out. You can throw everything out of the window. When God shows up, it's the easiest thing in the world to get the work of God done. Lord help, that's what maybe we need to cry out. We got to get past the sepulcher. Death is an enemy, therefore sin's an enemy. If sin brings death and death is an enemy, then we got to get down to the root of the problem of what's causing death. And therefore, we have to start with sin. And thank God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the second thing is the stone. Now, what is the stone? The stone of the hindrances. Amen. Amen. It's what keeps Jesus in. It's what keeps Lazarus in. It's what keeps life out. It's what keeps death locked up. We got to do something with the stone. Thank God the stone can be moved.
Amen.
You know, you say, well, Brother Broughton, there's things in my life I can't change. I know that. I'm not asking you to change them. There's some things only God can change. Now, you see, I'll bring it up here in just a moment, but we've got to find a way to get the stone away from the door. That's the hindrances. We got to get rid of things like prayerlessness.
Amen.
Oh, what a good place to start. Oh, here comes Jesus to the tomb of Lazarus, and he got down and lifted his eyes up toward heaven, and he started this way. He didn't say, now, Lord, if it be your will. He said, Lord, before Lazarus comes out, I want to thank you for doing it. He said, Lord, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Before he ever said anything, he said, I know you heard me. And the Bible said, if we know that he hear us. Have you ever prayed when you knew God heard you? Have you ever got on your face before God when you didn't have to get up and doubt whether God's going to answer? You had the peace of God in your heart before you ever got off your knees. And brother, when we know that he heareth us, then we know that we have those petitions.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, that old stone of prayerlessness. Powerlessness, purity, lack of it. They'll roll a stone up in front of the sepulcher every time. And we won't be able to get nothing done. I wrote words like this, unbelief, unconcern. I read, if you would please turn to Zechariah just a moment. Next to last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter number 7. Look at verse number, let's look at verse number 9. Here's what Zechariah the prophet said. He said, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother. This is the 7th chapter, verse number 10. He said, oppress not the widows, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears. That's about what we do, isn't it? That's about where we are. We just roll a stone up against the door. And he said that they should not hear. Listen, verse number 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the word which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. You see, everybody has some sort of a stone that we've rolled up in front of our spiritual doors that keeps the blessings of God from flowing in. We got to get past the stones. Jesus said the Pharisees shut up the kingdom of God. Said they wouldn't enter in, and they hindered those that would enter in. So when we get a stone up there, it's a two-way hindrance. What's on the inside can't get out, and what's on the inside can't get in. It's bad when we're away from God, isn't it? Don't you ever believe this thing that my sin affects only me. That's the biggest lie out of hell. You ask these little kids brought up in drunkard homes whose it affects. You ask the divorced family who's affected. Amen. You ask the little kids whose mothers are harlots and prostitutes who's affected by it. I want to tell you, this old lie of hell, it's my body and it's my life and it's my business. That's the biggest lie that the devil ever told anybody. You see, the stone must be moved. Now, we come to the third thought, and that's rolling the stone away. Now, if you'll look in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 3, Matthew chapter 16, verse number 3, and I just want to, or Mark chapter 16, verse number 3, I just want to read a little phrase. And we make this statement, the women come to the tomb of Lazarus, and here's the question that's posed. They said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" Now we got a problem. How are we going to get the stone away from the door? Now there's two thoughts I want to preach here. Number one, some stones man is required to move. When Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus, he tells the men, he said, "Y'all go move the stone away. You see that stone that's blocking the way there? You go over there and move that, and I'll call Lazarus out of the grave." Now, you know there's some things you're required to do for yourself.
That's right.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you're required to believe.
Amen.
Except you repent. Amen. You're required to repent. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." He was required to be born again. Paul said, "It's required of a steward that he be found faithful." Don't you blame anybody for your faults. Don't you stand up and blame the church and the preacher and the world and hypocrites for your coldness. If you're away from God, it's your own fault. If you're not praying, it's your own fault. The Bible said, "When thou prayest, enter into the closet and shut the door." And he said, "Pray to thy Father in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." It's your job to get inside the closet and shut the door. Brother Billy Mitchell said he didn't have much trouble getting in the closet, but he had a whole lot of trouble getting the door shut.
Yeah.
That's our problems, isn't it? That's our responsibility. It's your responsibility to be in church Sunday morning.
Amen.
Ain't the preacher's responsibility to come by and beg a Christian to come to church.
Amen.
How many preachers in here, we spin our wheels trying to get saved people to show up? Now let's be honest with this thing. We go out and we have to spend two-thirds of our time people that are church members and claim to be saved already. Why, if you laid out a church like some of the saved people, so-called saved people, God would whip you all over the place. It's not my responsibility to get a Christian in church. Now I realize I have to do that. But I don't feel that's my responsibility. I feel if they got saved, it's their responsibility to be there. Who gave them an excuse to be unfaithful to God? That's their duty to do that. Some stones we have to move away. There's some stones that only God can move. Amen. Only God can take away blindness and death, heartache and sorrows. Amen. Now our problem is we need to get them to him and leave them there. But we must get past the stone. Some of you this morning, if you don't get past a stony heart and a stony life and a stony spirit, I learned a long time ago the thing that'll kill you worse than anything is a bad spirit. I've had people say, "Have you ever preached with a bad spirit?" Sure. I've preached with bitterness inside of me. The only thing about bitterness is it needs some dirt to take root in. Bible said, "Take heed lest a root of bitterness roots go down into dirt." You have to have some dirt before bitterness will spring up. And he said, when there's a root of bitterness springs up in you, it won't stop with you. The Bible said that many will get defiled by it. You know, dirt just rubs off, don't it? No matter what you can do, dirt will rub off. And I want to tell you, the only place where we can get the dirt removed and it'll stay removed and it'll stay cleansed is at the foot of the cross. And when we bring that to Christ Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son cleanses us from all sin. Only He can give you that. You know who creates a good spirit in you? The Lord. David got away from God. He developed his own spirit. And then when he got ready to get right with God, he said, Lord, create in me. You see, that's a work of God. When we can get past that stone, buddy, we're going to get life and death to meet together. And when life and death meet together, I know which one's going to get whipped. Death is going to have to flee. When we can get life and death in the same room, there's going to be a knockout punch thrown by the Son of God. He really indeed is a champion of love, brother. Amen. You know, Jesus paid it all, didn't he? Thank God. When he pays for something, nothing left there. You know, somebody wrote a song a few years ago, and that thing, I heard it going home, and I cried all over the place. Some little old boy had come up to his mom, and he handed her a bill. And said, Mom, said I feel like you ought to pay me something for the things that I do. And said, right here's what I feel is fair. You owe me $5 for mowing the yard. And you owe me $2 for carrying out the garbage. And you owe me $2 for raking the grass. And you owe me $2 for doing the chores around the house. And Mama's heart was kind of broken because of that. She thought she had an ungrateful son. And so Mom sat down after a while, and she made up a bill for her son. And said, Son, the food that I cook and put on your table, it's free, no charge. Clothes I bought and put on your back, it's free, no charge. Son, the nights that I sat in a rocking chair and rocked you to sleep when you were sick, it's free, no charge.
Yeah.
I think that's what God does to us.
Yeah.
Here I'm life. You want life? No charge. You want sin? It's got a high price tag. No charge to mine. Folks, we need to get the stone moved away. I don't know how we're going to do it this morning, but we need to get the stone rolled away. If we can get in where life is this morning, man, we're going to have a time here. We got to get in where life is. Amen. Now, you may have an old stone roll up against your heart. You may be like Brother Dukes preached there a while ago. You may have this old sour spirit about you that you can't even get blessed with something like this. Why don't you get that stone moved out this morning? Why don't you roll that old stone over to Jesus and say, Lord, this stone is weighing me down and I can't carry it no longer. Take away my old stony heart. Amen. When life shows up, the stone gets crushed. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your blessings.